Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
A new Shazam teaser. Why wasn't Aquaman nominated for any Oscars? And Patty Jenkins already working on Wonder Woman 3? Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews.
A new Shazam
Popcorn
teaser.
Talk. We talk Aquaman movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC movie news.
Oh, Tehran doesn't know.
Oh, yeah, put your hand in. Boo!
Tehran doesn't know. Yeah. There we go.
You know what? Now that I know.
Now you don't want to be part of it.
Now that I know, I'm still not about it.
Fine. You don't have to be about it. It's girl power then, okay?
Hold on.
That's the fun part.
I don't even think I can do it. I can't do it.
Yeah! All right. Welcome back, guys, to DC Movie News. We have no Adam Gertler. We have no Johnny LaQuasto. We have no Mike Kalinowski, which means that I'm Roxy Stryer, sitting alongside her great return, your favorite cosplayer and guest of the show, Elena Jordan.
Hey, I'm back.
I didn't even say bring the painted this time because we've just been talking about how nice you are. Like, she just, look at this that she just bought me.
So sweet. So
look
sweet.
At this.
I mean,
so sweet.
I threw up, actually.
Oh, so. Non-denominational holiday stocking.
You didn't want a water, but you threw up in your mouth?
Yeah, I should have got the water.
New friend of the show. He is your favorite stand-up comedian, and he also covers every Marvel and DC show on AfterBuzz TV. It's Tehran in the house.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. If I look familiar, it's probably because you saw me at your local 7-Eleven, so let's make it happen.
What do you get there?
You don't want to know.
No, I really truly do.
I eat food at 7-Eleven.
Same.
Like, I eat the
like your full-on meals?
I'll get hot dogs there. I'll get the pizza is actually really kind of good.
The one across the street has dope sandwiches.
Yeah.
It's got awesome fruit. Get your fruit at 7-Eleven. You heard it here first. I am always grabbing my apples and my oranges over there. Great bananas.
Exactly.
Can I quickly hop in here too?
Yes, Jeff Graham in the booth.
I love 7-Eleven food, and my wife gives me so much crap for it because, like, buffalo rollers, taquitos, I know they have to destroy your body, but I think they're delicious, and I'm not going to apologize.
It seems like the 7-Eleven would give you more crap than your wife in that case.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? The whole reason he said this, the whole reason he said that was to let us know he has a wife. There was no other point to that entire story.
He is recently married, and he slips it into conversation very often.
Exactly.
Like, everybody within 5 minutes of meeting Jeff knows he's married to a woman. Okay?
No, guys, my wife is dope, so I'm not going to apologize.
See, that's the thing. That's what the new married people do. New married people, new relationship people. I was hanging out with my girlfriend. Like, okay, bro.
Tehran, you never mention your wife.
Never.
Never happens.
Yeah, it will never happen.
The one that exists. Yeah.
Allegedly.
So we got a lot to break down today, which is the first time I've said that in weeks on this show. It was very radio silent for quite some time, and we woke a sleeping giant this week with Shazam. I feel like I couldn't run, I couldn't hide. There was nowhere I could go to avoid Shazam news this week. Zachary Levi was popping up on my Twitter, in my dreams, on my Instagram feed. That teaser was everywhere.
In everything.
So let's
the exclamation point at
let's
the end
talk about that. Why has there been so much exclamation point talk this week?
I don't know. Everyone's like so weird about, I don't, we'll talk about,
about
later,
the exclamation
about,
point.
Like,
that has been so strange.
The S exclamation, like, yeah. Anyway.
Although you are shouting at me. Which is
Shazam! Amazing.
Not you, them. Like, if you're going to put the exclamation point.
You can't just be like, Shazam. Well, you have to be like, Shazam!
Nobody whispers Shazam.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a sticky situation. You got to, like, say it really quiet so nobody catches on. Let's check out the teaser and see what we think. Our live reactions. I choose you. He also did a little intro to it. You guys saw Zachary Levi say,
yeah.
This is me with the two little kids.
This is me.
I love that musical.
Same.
Pretty quick teaser too.
I love that.
See that Dark Knight reference?
So serious. Yeah. Yes.
I like that too.
I love it.
And because if you don't get it for some reason, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect it. It's a good kind of Easter egg. They're including people on it.
Shazam!
Boom! Love it.
Blair. Yes. If you have a location like on a.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Also, I'm looking for a layer too. So, yeah. Who do I contact for that?
Well, in LA, you can't afford one. But
I don't know if I can afford a layer in Omaha. I don't know if I get a.
You live in LA, so your rent here would be a layer in Omaha. So no, that's actually.
True. All right, so legit. I'll get one there.
Exactly.
Are you guys now on the team where you feel like these trailers should be 1 minute teasers across the board? Or do you like that we get 3 minute trailers?
I like it switched up. I'm there for the lair.
You know, what happened? Like, are we looping
the
again?
The thing is, no. Well, because we have a teaser and then there's like multiple teasers, right. And then they have the full trailer, which has been kind of a like trend recently, right. Which I'm okay with. The only thing, and I've said it before when we've looked at previous trailers, I really wish that they would show scenes that aren't in the movie. I know a lot of people don't like that, but
well, like
I would
what they did
see...
with Infinity War with Hulk.
Yeah, I would rather see things like cuts that you're not purpose, going though. To use.
What do you mean?
Yeah, it seems like that was
the Hulk
later.
One wasn't on purpose. That was a later decision. So
they cut it. Yeah, later. But
I'm
feel
saying like that, like
yeah,
where you
exactly.
see something that and theoretically that's... could be in it but isn't in it, or are you saying where you see a completely different thing cut specifically for a trailer?
I would rather see. I mean, not
like Deadpool. Deadpool does that.
Yeah, Deadpool right. does that, and I love that. I think that's
well,
brilliant.
But it works for that movie. So with other movies, you're courting controversy. You're saying, why don't they put scenes that aren't going to be in the movie in the trailer? And that's where you get the comments like, this wasn't even in the movie. I hate you. I hope everyone dies.
But that's if true. You see everything that's going to be in the movie, you get those comments that are like, I already saw this. It was funnier in the
that's
trailer.
My thing. I don't like when, everyone they, dies. When they have punchlines in the movie. And this is the only thing about the trailer is it seems like they've cut a lot of punchlines that I go, huh. But I know in the movie when I see it, if I had seen the setup without the punchline, it would have been funnier. And I feel like Shazam is one of those movies that, like Deadpool, is going for the action but also the comedy. So I'm like, don't spoil your own jokes. Don't step on your own jokes in the cheeser and in the trailer.
But I think
show
it's...
me the action.
Did you say cheeser?
The cheeser.
In the cheeser.
I know you hate cheese.
Unintended pun.
So, yeah,
unintended
there you go.
Pun. What do you got, Tara?
It was pun intentional.
I was going to say, in that accord, Deadpool is a very different movie. It was an outlier all the way around. So Shazam is still, just because it's the anti-Batman, it doesn't mean that it's not very much a DC movie. And that's why a trailer like that would not work for Shazam. It's not breaking the fourth wall.
So Deadpool, you think this is a perfect version of what DC could have done for a Shazam trailer?
100%.
Cool.
Question for you. Are you excited to watch the movie?
Yeah, 100%.
Regardless, if I didn't know anything about Shazam, which honestly, most people don't. And
right.
I'm sure we're going to get into why and how that worked out, because that's actually one of my favorite concepts from law school was the study of Shazam, which we did, because
oh,
it's a
cool.
huge case.
Well, just get right into it now. Tell
so,
me
the Captain Marvel.
The whole concept, it's not even just the Captain Marvel, which is the continuation. The original concept of Shazam, Shazam was way more popular than Superman. DC Comics, however, had more money, and so they basically sued Fawcett, which is the company that
right.
originally created Shazam, for copyright infringement. Copyright infringement for Superman, who, by the way, came after Shazam, and said, well, they
right.
have the same powers, everything like that. DC sues Fawcett, ties them up in so much litigation, Fawcett goes out of business, so DC buys the company and buys the concept of Shazam. The reason I don't say Captain Marvel is because DC is not allowed to say Captain Marvel,
right.
because when that happened, Marvel then went and created a character, Captain Marvel, that's pointless just to own the name.
But Captain Marvel's not pointless.
Well,
you're
later,
saying at the time.
Captain Marvel was a very pointless character at the time. It wasn't the Captain Marvel that you're looking at today.
You were saying at the time they made Captain Marvel just to say.
Literally a comic book character with some guy. He's like, I'm Captain Marvel. And there was nothing else to that whole character for a long time. And then,
you've pissed
course,
Elena off.
But that happens with a lot of characters that then become like super epic. I mean,
Well,
I know this is DC movie, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, Carol Danvers is a goddess. You better respect
her.
But that wasn't her at the time.
I do feel
that way. That was the concept that came out way later because they were like, oh, what do we name this character? Hey, we have this name hanging around. Let's do something with it. So the whole concept, the legal concept of how this came about is a very intriguing legal study.
And so you think that in the long run, that really hurt Shazam's popularity in terms of the movie today?
It hurt the concept of Shazam because Shazam became very much a caricature or a cartoon when all the other DC heroes have become these legends and icons, and Shazam never took its place. So now that the movie's coming about, now we get to see that come to life. We get to see every kid live their dream vicariously through Billy Batson. That's the whole concept of who Shazam is.
If that hadn't happened, do you feel like there would have been a Shazam movie 30 years ago?
Let's just say everyone thought Shaquille O'Neal was in the Shazam movie in the 90s. That's why anyone went and saw Kazam.
It was great.
Yeah.
I loved Kazam.
I've seen it way too many times at this point.
I think it's funny that you mentioned that because I feel like the same is kind of with Aquaman. And it's funny that both of them are coming out at the same time where it's like, hey, joke's on you guys. Anybody that you thought was not one of the top tier superheroes, we will make them top tier. We are DC, bow down.
A lot of comments in the chat right now. Some people knew the story, some people didn't. Tehran, they're really excited to have somebody talking about that. By the way, in case you guys don't know, join Popcorn Talks YouTube, subscribe there, and join us every Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, to actually be part of the conversation. So Zeno Hour says, legal history of Shazam is very interesting. Garth says, it sucked how DC drove Fawcett Comics to bankruptcy, then bought up their characters.
All their characters.
Yeah, which...
But this was the crowning. This is the reason. This is how... Actually, it doesn't happen all the time.
It
does now. So
Ian says, damn, Tehran overthinking this.
Not at all. Not at all. This is... And I'll tell you why. Because it's things like this that we don't pay attention to sometimes that we should be aware of. Things like, don't even get me started, how Disney basically writes all our copyright laws in the country for our country, which is a different conversation. But it's
such
things
a
like
different
this.
Conversation.
Companies started doing this because they saw it work for this. And now that's dangerous when you have this monopoly of
so they actually, in law school, use this property. As a case study for you guys.
For me, yes. Not everybody, but... It depends on what you...
They sat you down specifically and they were like, let's tap into Tehran's brain. This is what's going to
work
on him.
Let's go as out of the box as possible. It happens when you graduate top of your class.
Am I right, people? Am I right? Yeah, I also went to law school of Popcorn Talk and learned all that. Things that might also affect Shazam that people are talking about are the fact that Justice League really was not received well by critics. Didn't do as well as people thought that it would do. Whatever you... I get very nervous talking about Justice League because no matter how I phrase it, one of you guys at home is like, what are you talking about? It made $700 million. Dollars. I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm not saying that it didn't make money at the box office. What I'm saying is it wasn't received well necessarily.
It wasn't a great movie. I'm saying it. It's not a great movie,
I liked
especially
it.
Compared
it's
to the Avengers and what Marvel's putting out.
I liked it, but everybody's got their opinion on it. But regardless of that... Critics didn't love this movie. It has a very low Rotten Tomatoes score, and people are worried that that might actually affect Shazam's performance. But one of the people who's not worried is David Sandberg, who basically shrugged his shoulders at this question and was like,
right.
This won't have any effect. Why do you say he's right?
Because he is right, because Shazam did it perfectly. We are in the Justice League world. We're in the DC world. Here's the head nods, but we're a separate story, and that's how you play it. And it's why, once again, comparing it to Deadpool, why Deadpool also pulled in a lot of people who you wouldn't think so. Also, the storyline for Shazam is something that's way more conducive to separate demographics. You're going to have kids that go to watch it just because it's such a good kid story. Then you're going to have adults go watch it because it's such a good adult story. And it does it so well.
Elena,
very
do
few
you
properties
think Justice League will affect this?
I don't think it will, but I do know that comicbook.com, who I love, I think that they're an amazing resource.
They
but I
have
know that
great
they
stories.
Had this interview and kind of this story has spiraled because of this interview with Sandberg saying, you know, I don't think that it's going to affect it. And them kind of using that as I feel like it's almost become a spin where it's saying almost slighting Justice League a little bit. And I don't think that that was the intention.
So here's the quote.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you guys. It's a little lengthy, but he says, it's such a separate film. I don't think it changed anything, really. It's very different from Justice League. It's still the same universe and thing, but it has just a very different tone. And then he goes on to say our movie takes place very separately in the DC universe. In fact, I would argue that we're kind of the most self-aware of it because the movies that we all watch, I mean, Aquaman and Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, they're all basically documentaries in their world. These things, these are all real events that have happened. Batman and Superman fighting, Superman saving all of Metropolis while simultaneously destroying the entire city. That all really happened.
Who is that guy? Because he's a genius.
The director. Sam,
I know.
Director. What's your name, Sandberg?
Yeah. The genius. Only thing that kind of bothers me with it is because then it's like, oh, well, are you glad that they're staying away from any Justice League ties? And I'm like, he didn't say that they're staying away from Justice League
Same
ties.
Same universe, different film.
It's yeah, and I feel like that's been the case for a lot of these films. So I don't understand why that's even a thing where it's like, oh, well, Sandberg's, you know, taking jabs at Justice League. And I'm like, no, he didn't. No, he never said anything negative.
Do you think if Justice League had been critically acclaimed and people had loved it and this was the best movie that DC ever did, kind of got the reception that Wonder Woman did, that Sandberg would have had more ties with Justice League in the Shazam movie? Or yes. Do you think it wouldn't have affected him?
Yes.
You think he would?
I disagree.
Of course. He would have made a different movie, possibly. It would have had more ties. Let's be very, very frank. What he's saying is, our tone of our movie, basically he's saying our writing is better. And it doesn't matter how you frame it. It's not a jab at Justice League. You can critique without criticizing. And that's all he did.
You think he's speaking in facts?
He's speaking in a factual matter where he's saying our tone, we have written something that is going to be pleasing for everyone, regardless if you're a true DC fan or not. When it comes to Justice League, it's really basically for people who like that genre of movie. He's saying we created a movie that's a good movie.
And Elena, you think that he wouldn't have tied into Justice League regardless of how Justice League was reviewed?
Based on everything that I've heard him say about the movie, it seemed that he had a very clear vision from the beginning of what he was going to do and had the intention of tying in all of these superheroes. And we see it, like, the very first thing that we see in the first trailer is that it's tying in, you know, we see the t-shirts, we see the
Superman
press
headline.
Clippings, we see, yeah. So we know that
part
had intentional sure. tie-ins, but I don't think that he would have been like, all right, let's try to, you know, just wedge in some more tie-ins to Justice League because that one was successful. To me, it seemed like he already had the vision and he already had tonally these differences in place. So I don't think, well, the studio, I think, may have pushed a little bit more to be like, hey, we can get some more merchandising out of
Who
this.
Who gives if the money to these people again? Oh, the studio. Yeah, I feel like that's where that's where it would have come from. That would have been a
but
much
But I feel
more
like
pressure.
He wouldn't have intentionally done that. I feel like
Who
maybe
do you think's right, Roxy?
I think you're both right. Senior Nerd in the chat says, Aquaman, $1 billion. Justice League effect does not exist. I mean, case in point there, I think Aquaman would have played a lot more into Justice League. That's the one that would
That's
have been more
the one
connected.
I agree.
Obviously, being in Justice League and all. So that
because
would have
that
probably
one seemed to be a little yep. bit more dependent as well.
Yeah. More Shazam news. Mark Strong really, really all over the place this week was talking about Shazam and his experience with not only Shazam, but comic book movies in general. I feel like this guy is in everything
I feel
I
like
see.
He's an evil person. And I don't want to believe that. He's
mean.
Probably a sweetheart, but
his
every
face,
movie
I now think he's
so
evil. Every time I see him, I'm
characters.
Like, oh, you're creepy, you're
But
weird.
That's like Justice League, who plays... I love him, too. He's in a lot of the DC shows, and I'm friends with him. And he plays, like, the Helgermite and Supergirl.
Or
and he
Willem
plays,
Dafoe.
Like,
every time I see
yeah,
him on screen, I'm like...
Sweetest person, though.
You're going to murder somebody? What's going on?
Yeah, but Mark Strong is... Look, Willem Dafoe and those guys... Here's the thing. If I was in a... I don't have kids. If I did, and I was in a grocery store, and I saw Mark
well,
Strong...
Well, Jeff has a wife,
and they were
so.
Exactly. Jeff has a wife, but I don't...
remember that.
I do
Shady
remember that.
Guys.
He
Shady.
Won't let me forget. He won't let me forget. I walked in, he was like, my wife says hello. I was like, what? So if I had a kid and Mark Strong walked in and my kid was doing something wrong, I'd be like, see that guy? He's going to take you away if you don't do something right. And 100%. It has nothing to do. That is who Mark Strong is. And
just Robin
good
Hood,
for him.
Kick ass.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Sinestro. God, he's so good at Sinestro, yeah. though.
So he was talking about Green Lantern a lot, and he was mentioning this article from Sci-Fi was kind of asking him about if him being Savannah means that the Green Lantern isn't involved in the DCEU anymore, which was so confusing to me because when was the Green Lantern involved in this reboot of the DCEU? Other than that 1 second where we see the green light, but not
That's a second.
But not our Green Lantern movie. It just made
His response to me, though, I thought was brilliant, where he's like, well, they had set it up where if they had done another version of that movie, then yes, they would have brought back the same actors to play those characters. But now that so much time has passed, and it's like Ryan Reynolds isn't going to be like, hey, animate my suit again, please. Yeah.
He's already made so fun of himself so much.
I know, right? It's like,
there's no way.
So Mark Strong basically responded by saying, you're stupid, and then moved on.
It was a strong response.
Oh, cheeser.
Is it the third or fourth? I don't remember.
I don't know. Mark it down.
We need our pun count.
That was another Mark Strong pun. It was very subtle.
The AfterBuzz TV after show for Gotham, and the host over there, Steve Kaufman, has a pun jar for himself. He has to pay every time he puns.
I don't have enough money for that.
You literally will have to move out of your place.
I will have
to
give up my
home. You cannot afford
to
live if you have a pun jar.
You can move to Omaha.
You should check out the whole article because we don't have time to go through every single thing he said on Sci-Fi. Again, sci-fi.com. It's written by Brian... Ooh, butcher names. Cairns? One of those.
No clue.
Said that accurately. And he just talks about the character, how he made Savannah his own, what it was like prepping for the role, how he felt about his costume, whether he was hesitant or not to go back into the DCEU. It's actually a lot about wardrobe and all these things about his tragic past and how they brought it to life. So go check that out if you want
to
hear more.
From Sinestro to Sins, the Seven Deadly.
How long were you thinking about that?
Someone give her a jar.
Yeah, somebody gives her. Somebody has to give you a jar. This was another little bit clickbaity headline, but I didn't mind it. Screen Rant, you're always good with those headlines. Zachary Levi is thankful that Marvel killed him off. So everybody knows that he was very, very underutilized in the Thor movies, and he was killed super fast in the least heroic, least meaningful way.
That just kind of
was there and then gone.
Such an F you, too, to be like, you're cast. Oh, wait, you can't do it. We're casting somebody else. Oh, wait, they can't do it. You're back. And now you're dead.
Bye. And really? Nobody's going to mourn you.
Because those paychecks were fine. He was happy. Like, I 100%. I wish someone did that with me.
Oh, I feel zero bits bad.
Exactly.
I feel no bits bad. People would give their left arm for this role.
You're setting this person up to be this person.
But I liked what he said, which is basically things happen for a reason. And if he had still been tied down with Marvel in that contract, then obviously he wouldn't be able to be our Shazam. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure at the time as an actor, even though we don't feel bad for him, he was probably devastated. You know, yeah. I'm part of this massive franchise. It's a huge break for me. And now it's just gone. And then to find out that he's going to head his own movie, it's going to be massive. Right now, it's looking like it's going to be a really successful movie. So basically, he's trying to tell you guys at home, if you're going through it, suck it up, keep going. Something
better's
around the corner.
If you're going through hella, keep on going.
And you look as good as he does, keep going.
You're not going to pause for the hella joke?
I did, and I realized no.
Because hella killed him?
I know.
Get it?
Oh, my God. That's why I did
No, wait, can you explain again?
Yeah, it's really funny what I just said, so you should all laugh. That's the explanation.
In the Thor movies.
In the Thor movies. Hella.
The sister. Keep going.
The sister.
Keep going.
Jeff has a wife.
Jeff has a wife. Why are you tempting him with Hella? Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
It's very rude. Sorry. Jeff, I'm so sorry.
You know, it's not easy, guys. It's not easy.
So sorry.
Oh, you know what else cracker. I think is rude? When people spoil things.
Well, usually we're mad at Lego in here, right? I feel like every single week we come in and we're like, Lego did it again. Now I know what's happening in this DC movie, in this Marvel movie, in this Star Wars thing. They ruined the ship. They ruined this costume. Funko, what you doing? Funko got on board with the Lego plan and they spoiled possibly a key plot point of Shazam. Basically, what happened was they released two of the characters, spoiler alert, by the way, they released two of the characters in costume, in their superhero costumes. And there's been rumors that two of the kids that are part of the foster family of Billy Batson are going to go with the version where they actually grow up as adults, they get their powers, all of that. When we saw these Funkos in the costumes as adults, we're assuming that's the version that we're going to see in the Shazam movie. That could be a swerve, as Johnny likes to say. That could be a different iteration of the film that they were going with. But most likely, this is what's going to happen.
Probably, which is kind of a bummer because it's like anybody who's read the comics, like the New 52 starts with Flashpoint. So it's like, look, this is which that's what I was talking about, the exclamation points. If you read the one where it's like all of the kids all at the same time, Shazam, get an exclamation point after every letter. Mm-hmm. But I don't... I wish they hadn't have spoiled this one. I mean, I am excited because Brick is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I think Megan Good is amazing, and if she is in it, like it's been rumored, then I'll be ecstatic. Mm-hmm. But I would have rather that been a surprise than Funko be like, hey, enjoy your spoiler pop.
The Megan Good thing is still a rumor?
Well, now it's back into being a rumor because they might have the adult versions. Not only her, but Adam Brody from, of course, our favorite, The O.C.
Seth Cohen, forever.
Which would be interesting. Yeah, Ross Butler, Michelle Borth. There's a lot. DJ Cotrana from G.I. Joe Retaliation.
I don't know about the other people, but Megan Good and Adam Brody, that's interesting.
Why are you...
I think it's a Megan Good call.
Talk to me about your crap-eating grin right now.
It's just interesting. That's good. That's good.
Like, it's interesting because you are familiar
it's good.
With them?
It's just good. I don't know what I'm familiar with
it's
or not.
Megan
I just
good.
Would not be surprised if those two rumors ended up being true.
I would be really excited to see Adam Brody as adult Freddy. I think that's a perfect casting.
Yeah.
Because that's what Freddy grows up to be. That's like spot on for this. So I'm not upset if this spoiler is true. I'm upset that it was spoiled with a Funko
Pop. With a Funko Pop. I'm like, how come you guys can't, like, especially if it's all, we've done so much shakeups with now who was in charge mm-hmm. of the merchandising for the movies and how it ties into the DC merchandising. If you know that this movie is coming out, wait until April. Wait until April to release these Funkos.
Yeah,
like, you
don't
need
Funko
to do it now.
CEO was where he doesn't watch the movies. He has no idea. He was like, money? Yes.
But it's up to DC's marketing to say, hey, put a pin on this. Don't release any of these photos until April. If you want to send them out April 1st, even. Yeah. Even if you want to do like an April 1st, because then it could be an April Fool's thing. And then 5 days later, you find out. Fine with me. But it's January. Don't show us 3 months before we can see the movie.
I think as fans, we don't realize that people that always work for companies, they're not as big of fans sometimes. And they make decisions based on the monetary gain and not what will be good or not for the fans or what fans might find as a spoiler. They're simply looking at it as an economic black.
I understand that, but it's like considering you have had all of these shakes and these intentional people being brought in for the merchandising
100%.
Element, it's like they should call the people at Funko and say, hold off. And I know that that's like a big thing is they're like, okay, well, now you can get the Valentine's Day crowd in. You can get, you know, these different opportunities if you have it released earlier to buy more. But it's like, don't give up the cents to make the dollars.
I don't think they've even thought about it. I don't think that they put in.
That's probably
they
true,
weren't like,
that's it.
Yeah, they didn't know that this would be a spoiler. They're just like, yeah, you have access to these characters. Go for it. And
this is what the character looks like. Why is that a spoiler?
That's what I'm saying. It's on DC, not on Funko.
I also understand it's DC's fault, but I also understand why they weren't so perceptive to it.
We should eat people alive for this. Let's eat them all. I'm going to eat all of the people.
Even though I'm like crapping all over it, I'll probably have both Funkos
and I'm
going to
buy
house.
Them
like, it's,
pretty immediately.
Know. Definitely the Darla. If Megan Good plays Darla, yeah. I'm like, Darla!
I love that.
Let's get into, you know something we don't know. Let's get into some other people we want to tear apart limb from limb. The people that didn't nominate Aquaman for any Oscars. Now, when I tweeted this out, people were saying, you think that Aquaman should be a best picture? Did I say that, bro?
No.
Bro, did I say that? No, but the fact that none of the effects, none of the makeup, none of the costumes, nothing.
This is like when Wonder Woman didn't get best hair nomination and Wonder did. And I was like, yes, because there are so many YouTube tutorials for the hair from Wonder, but not from Wonder Woman. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. If there's something that has that big of a cultural impact, I think that it should be recognized.
So, did you feel that Aquaman had that big a cultural impact on the visual effects?
For visual effects, yes. This is the first time an underwater visual effects scene has been done this way.
I did too. And I was looking at social media this week to talk about why Won't You Be My Neighbor was not nominated for Best Doc, because a lot of people were very confused on that. And there was one guy who's a part of the Academy who said, listen, the way that these work is they're listed alphabetically. And if you circled five before you got to Won't You Be My Neighbor, then
you circled five.
Very and true. Sometimes that happens. This is Aquaman.
Sure.
Yeah. Starts with an A. Why? You've seen it, right?
It's a bunch of a-holes, if you ask me.
I'm gonna be very frank when I say that I think that there are three reasons why I didn't get nominated.
One.
Number one is I don't think the people who paid attention don't think that it's that advanced. They think that a lot of the tech was taken from things that James Cameron has come up with.
Okay.
That's number one.
Two.
Number two, I don't think that a lot of people who are voting actually watched Aquaman.
That's the big thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they actually watched it. I think they popped it in and popped it out or didn't watch it at all. I know a couple people who fell into that category. And yet, if you aren't, even if you're not a DC fan, you do kind of watch the Marvel movies. They are a little more exciting in a lot of ways. The writing. And it comes down to a lot of things like that.
And you've been hooked with a story.
And you've been hooked in with 15 stories.
20, yeah.
There you go.
Three.
And then three, I just think that a lot of people don't like, they're not taking the Aquaman seriously because of him being very good looking. I think that really plays a lot of part. I remember Brad Pitt being looked over for a lot of things because he was Brad Pitt. And then people realize, wait, this guy can actually also act. So I think people are just looking at it in that way. Because remember, the people who choose this aren't always professionals. They're also just people. And so they bring their own prejudgments into their voting.
Do you guys think
we've seen that happen before politically? Anyway, go on.
Black Panther being nominated for Best Picture opens up any doors for future DC movies to actually be taken more seriously. Comic book movies in general, obviously that being a Marvel one, but just... Heath Ledger, we thought might open the door for people being nominated for performance. Do you think that this might open the door, or do you think this is a one-hit wonder?
I hope that it does. I mean, I feel like Logan was absolutely just shafted at the Oscars. I think that that one was one that was greatly overlooked that I thought was brilliant. And so I feel like now, and I know, again, Marvel, but still, it's like I feel like hopefully this will open up some doors. And the fact that I think that it's a shift that it's showing that the Academy is trying to be more in tune with general audiences instead of just looking at art house niche films that aren't accessible to a lot of the general public. I think that this is a really good step in the right direction, but I do feel like it's almost too late. It's like when the Academy changed their name to the Oscars to be like, look, we're young and hip. We're not the Academy. We're the Oscars. And it's like, okay, guys.
That was the young and hip voice?
That was the young and hip. That was the trying to be young and hip voice.
Now you have to.
I'm going
to
sound like a 1940s.
We are not the Academy. We are the Oscars. That's young
and hip. But it's like you have to imagine like a 1940s radio announcer as that.
My girl's young and hip. Your girl was not young and hip.
Because I'm an old man pretending to be young and hip. That's what the Academy is.
Well, whatever gender that you affiliate with, I do not discriminate.
Whatever age. We're not ageist here. We're not gender.
I completely disagree with your assessment. I think that Black Panther is an outlier. I think that a lot of the social impact that Black Panther had played a big part. I think a lot of white voters felt a little guilty and they circled Black Panther. Do I think Black Panther deserves to be in the best picture running? I don't. It's not even the best Marvel movie, and I'm saying this because I'm the one on the panel that really can. I'm just being honest. Was it a very good movie? Yes. Yes, it was. However, we can't overlook the how good a lot of these movies are. I think Dark Knight got shafted.
100%.
And it's one of the best movies of all time.
Postmortem Heath Ledger, but let's be very honest. That movie and that script, take out the comic books and you still have a brilliant movie. So people in general, once again, it goes to that bias that they have, and there is definitely a comic book bias. They are prejudiced against comic books. They look at comic books as if they're just cartoons. They don't realize how great these comic book stories are. Young Justice, for example, or the New Titans, or any of this stuff. And they are extremely biased, these voters. It's not the general public. We have a different award for that. But when it comes to the Academy, they are bougie and they are snobby. And they're like, oh, let's choose.
What's their voice sound like?
That's you.
Hey, we're the Academy.
Oh, now I get it. Cool.
We're the Academy and we're hip.
That's you. That's the cool. And that's where they're coming from. And unfortunately, they haven't caught on.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will as Roxy becomes a part of the Academy, which I could see you getting into.
Thanks, man.
That's a different voice. That's a different voice, and that's what they're looking for.
I'm on the Razzie nominating committee, so I've made it.
There's a lot of comments in the chat right now about what Aquaman should have been nominated for. Emil, visual effects. Eon, sound effects. Zia's visual effects.
I don't think anything called Aquaman that the Academy is going to give them an Oscar. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the perception. Like, the Entourage making fun of Aquaman and kind of people still having that perception of, like, this is a, like a... let's kind of brush it to the side, even though I think James Wan knocked it out of the freaking park.
Jeff, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm a huge Oscar nerd, and what happens with below the line categories like hair and editing and make, well, not editing, but a little bit editing too, the more below the line you get, which for like casual fans means like the further you get from director, writer, as you get more into technical categories, they're never accurate of what's actually the best technical movies, because there still has to be a reputable prestige around the films. So if you look at visual effects nominations this year, for example, First Man is nominated. Great visual effects, mostly practical effects, though. But the Academy sees Damien Chazelle directing. They see the prestige around the film. So automatically, that's given a boost. It's not the most accurate indicator of one of the top best five visually effects movies of this year. It's just that it carries the Oscar prestige around it. So it gets below the line nomination.
That's a great answer. That's the guy's voice who I expect to have a wife.
He has a wife.
He has a wife.
Come on.
But then at the same time, you look at who else is nominated. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Christopher Robin. Ready Player One. It's like
No. Ready Player One deserves one.
Ready Player
let's
One.
Let's not look down on the concept and
Mary
it's the nostalgia.
Poppins, I like that movie.
Xeno Hour in the chat.
I like it, but it's like
let me ask you guys this, because this is what Xeno Hour in the chat says. Interesting question for you. I think the Joker could be a Best Picture candidate next year. Do you think that that kind of comic book movie could get a
yes.
little more
who's
Oscar buzz?
Who's that actor again? Mm-hmm. Who's that actor that's playing the Joker?
Joaquin.
I forget his name.
Yeah.
So it's not Momoa good looking, right? It's the guy
Joaquin
that
Phoenix.
They like. They've been pushing to the point where they're giving him his own movie because he's that esteemed an actor, right?
Yep.
It's not like the Jared Leto Joker's winning. We're going with the Joaquin mm-hmm. Phoenix, who's
that guy. So you think,
guy.
If you had to guess, will the Joker be nominated in the 2020 Oscars?
I don't think it'll be a Best Picture, but I think it will get nominations.
Theron?
Joaquin's kind of crazy. Let's see how it goes first. Let's see how it goes. Wait, the Joker doesn't have a beard. Wait, is this...
I feel like they'll nominate Joaquin just because they want to nominate Joaquin. I think anything he would be in, they would
Joaquin
say.
Joaquin is an excellent actor, and so they really, this is once again to that bias. When they hear that name, they're going to give it way more attention and pay attention to the subtle nuances. And once that happens, anything is possible.
The phoenix will always rise from the ashes.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even know what to make of that. Moving on, let's talk a little Wonder Woman, because you are now poor from this pun jar.
Yeah, sorry.
Patty Jenkins already has plans for a Wonder Woman 3. Is anybody surprised by this?
No.
Nope, me neither. Excited by this? Yes, definitely. Tehran, I can read the excitement on your face.
Excited. Wonder Woman was amazing. It should be Wonder Woman. She should have plans for Wonder Woman 8. This yeah. 3?
This is what she said.
They have 20 Fast and Furiouses. What are we doing here?
Well, Wonder Woman 84.
Her quote is, I have pretty clear plans for Wonder Woman 3, whether I direct it or not. I see how her arc should end in my incarnation of Wonder Woman. I have a great passion for that. Hearing that quote, does that make you guys think that Wonder Woman 3 is a end of a trilogy?
It seems like it, because most trilogies are set up as in first movie, act one, second movie, act two, third movie, act three.
Or if you have a third book, we're breaking it into 3 and 4, i.e. Hunger Games, Divergent,
yeah.
etc.
Well, that's to get a little extra money.
We need that,
because like,
sheesh.
You know. I won't even jump on the Hunger Games. Where I'm like,
it's
no
a trilogy
need for Hunger.
With seven
Harry
books.
Potter, though, makes sense. But it's like, Hunger Games, I was like, y'all are stretching. I feel like she has a very clear idea. And I think she's had this idea from the beginning of how it would kind of work out, and if she's fought so hard to get to direct the second movie, I hope that she'll direct the third one, or at least
she shouldn't even have to have fought at hard at all. She's the one that makes sense, and clearly this is a Nolan-esque trilogy that's going to come about. And what she did differently than Nolan was she played within the rules that they set for her. Mm-hmm. Nolan didn't have those
rules. In the studio,
as in DC and the studio, and she said, I'm going to still give you a deliverable that plays with your rules, but is still an excellent movie. Here you go.
Well, she didn't have the clout that Nolan had at the time, with only having had Monster and that being
well,
kind
also,
of an
there
hit.
Wasn't that DC world at the time. So when Nolan came to play, it was Batman was a standalone, excellent. Superman movies keep failing every time. You do what you want, and Nolan did it in the best way possible. I feel like she's a genius. She's brilliant. Her vision is clear. It's decided. And once she turns it in, if DC says no, then they're the ones who are failing on that.
Well,
end.
Since all of the best scenes were the ones that she fought the hardest for, that the studio was like, unnecessary.
And
then everybody's
the
like, you're a genius.
The baby scene, the boat scene,
oh
is all
yes.
crazy.
All
so it's
ones.
Like, yeah, I think I'm 100% on board for it. It makes me even more excited about the second movie, honestly.
Give me a Flash pun because we're about to move into the Flash very quickly. What do you got? Anything good? Oh, put her on the spot.
Let's move fast into the final.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's make a point to... Okay, that was a Flash point. Joke wasn't good. No.
I liked it. I see what you did there.
No, you didn't.
Let's look at
on into the next topic.
I think we should see other people.
It's just not working out.
It's not working out.
Flash concept art. It's always interesting to look after the fact, after you see the actual costume. This was Justice League artist that was revealing his initial concept for the suit. It's very, very strong, very metal looking, almost identical to what we actually got. So this wasn't surprising. It wasn't, there wasn't a huge transformation after this, but it looks cool.
I just love seeing artist renderings too, and getting to see the 3D adaptations of 2D renderings. I do wish that they would have shown the original 2D sketch next to the 3D, because I just love seeing how they progress. But regardless, anything that we get, I like.
Is this your kind of nerd, Tehran, or not your kind of nerd?
No.
It's not your kind of nerd.
It's pointless.
It's Flash pointless?
I'm giving Roxy that one. That was really good.
Are you already seeing other people now?
I'm already seeing you. That was amazing.
Until the next topic, then I got a segue.
All right, go ahead.
Are we going to split up?
Or should we just bang
that
on
was
glass?
Split glass.
Yeah, you guessed it. She's talking about M. Night Shyamalan. How did you know? So did you guys see Glass yet or no?
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. You're nodding that you saw it and pleading the fifth on whether you enjoyed it. Yes,
it was entertaining.
It was a movie.
Saw it. Yeah. Every time they reference glass, I just think of the scene from Die Hard where it's Bruce Willis going, "Glass? Who gives a shit about glass?" And it's all I can think about whenever I see Bruce Willis.
Why
in
is
the
that
posters.
The voice for everyone?
Because it's the only voice I could do, Tape Run.
That's not true. I've heard some of your voices. I've heard none of the voices. M. Night was approached apparently at some point, very vague, to talk about directing a DC movie, a Marvel movie, and M. Night is not in on this. Basically, he wants to make his own movies, fund them, do what he wants, have that twist,
good.
Do the M. Night thing.
Good.
Do you guys want him on a DC movie?
No.
No?
I mean, I feel like he's saying point blank that his... I love the, you know, the references of, like, my flavor's just different. If the studio has an idea of what they want and I throw my Tabasco sauce in there, it's going to mess up their recipe. And I would love for more directors to be able to take the stand that he is, that's saying, look, I have my ideas and I'm not going to compromise. If you're going to have one thing, if it's going to be Day and M. Night, then keep them separate.
Oh, that's another one. No. No, M. Night. I don't want Robin to end up being Batman somehow. Like, no. It's just, let's let it be. We get it. Hey, M, great.
So if you guys heard that he was going to direct a DC movie, is that like, I'm not going to see that film level?
No.
Or, okay.
But it's definitely your 1.5 movies good in for your career. We get it.
You're smoking
really?
Something.
Mark Wahlberg died from the trees?
One and a half good movies?
Maybe two.
He's got a bunch of good movies. Some of them
are
questionable.
He has a ton of bad ones. But
as somebody, again, on the Resi committee, I have voted for him. But I
how
feel
many
like...
Times?
Several.
Okay. So as I said, 1.5, two good movies in, if we collectively...
Which one are you considering really Sixth Sense a full one or not a full one?
Sixth Sense is... When we saw that, that was like, wow, right?
Are you considering Unbreakable a full one?
That's going in the... That was a... It was a good movie until I saw Glass. And so when... What happened was... When
so
it
Glass
got set
broke
up, when
the
I,
Unbreakable?
When I got in that... I was invested. Like, hey, I've waited for this movie. And then Shattered.
It didn't pay out for you.
Yeah.
Shattered Glass.
I also,
you set her up for that one. Yeah, Jeff, what
my
do you
thought
got?
With M. Night is he's probably self-conscious about adapting because the one property he's adapted is considered the worst film ever made.
Yes.
Which is, of course, Avatar. So
Avatar.
Yes.
I think
ripped to shreds.
To be a little shady here, M. Night Shyamalan, I think, has enough trouble keeping coherency in his own mind. When you bring in other factors, I just think it's a problem.
Thank you, Jeff, with the wife.
I don't know if Jeff, he's self-conscious about anything. I think he laughs straight to the bank.
Oh, he's
actually, that's not true. He's an extremely self-conscious writer. He actually really, really puts in a lot.
Really?
And he gets very sensitive about his concepts and how they're perceived. So that's actually an interesting. I do not.
But
however,
you have
that's
a, worked with him?
That is the temperament of Hollywood of who he is.
Oh, interesting.
He takes every single thing to heart. And he's the PS guy, like, no, but do you understand why I did that? Like, he's that guy. And I do know people that work with him and rep him. Mm. And that's the consensus.
Jeff has a wife.
And they made fun of that in Entourage too, actually, now that I think about it.
When I don't remember about that.
Oh, really?
Entourage with
M. Night. I have to rewatch that show.
And he gave Ari his script. Anyway.
Let's talk DC layoffs, because this article,
First, the government shuts down, and now this.
And it affects your life so negatively. It does. You're just getting screwed left and right. Mm-hmm. This article breaks it down, so in case you don't know what's going on, go to HollywoodReporter.com, and they'll really explain it. But DC Publishing is laying off 3% of its workforce. When I initially read that, I was like, whoa, they're laying off 7 people of their 240 employees, which still is intense.
It is.
And anytime a company...
Yeah, it sucks. Like, hey, Steve, hey, you're fired. Like, why? Just me? No, you and six other people.
Right. It's such a weird amount. If I was going to get laid off, I almost would rather the company have laid off 50% of their people or 70%, because then I'm like,
because you're the 7 worthless people.
Yeah.
The people they laid off too, I was kind of surprised at. It was like their VP of sales trade. Sure. It was like people that it's like,
But it's also people who are getting salaries who, once again, it comes down to that economic bottom line of you're getting paid a lot more than you're worth. And it's not that you don't have value. It's just, unfortunately, your value and our bottom line don't match up.
Sometimes companies go last one in, first one out. And sometimes companies go, unfortunately, we've had to give you that 5% pay increase every single year. That's your raise.
That,
and now we just can't afford you. We need to bring somebody young. One of the hip young people that Elena knows.
One of the hip young people.
Yeah, one of those definitely coming in to fill those seats. Sucks though. Layoffs are going on across the board. So many different entertainment companies, just because there's so much content out there, whether it's comic books, TV, movies, there's so much. We're just not able to pay for it all right now. Which
I just feel bad for Pam Lifford, if anybody. It's like everybody was all ready when Diane Nelson stepped down. They're like, well, let's see what Pam does. And they're like, oh, she's getting rid of the VP of art direction. Cool.
I didn't even think about, I wonder if Diane knew this was happening and was like,
I don't want to be the one who's. Yeah. It's like, it almost seems like, well, the big thing though that I am glad about was there was rumors that Jim Lee was out. And I was like, well, then this is going to be bad. But those were unfounded, so I am glad about that.
I didn't even hear those rumors.
Can't kill
a lot of people were like, Jim Lee's gone, and I was like, what?
Just being, you know.
Let's talk Toby Emmerich, because another person at the top was just talking about, and this came out last week, but we didn't really have time to address it, the future of DC. Now, we've said it many times on the show that they're not going with that Marvel track. They're not doing all of these movies that are tying in together that ultimately culminate in a 4-part Avengers thing. They're doing these standalones and they're hitting singles right now, and they're trying to play by the DC playbook, as he calls it. Do you think this is a smart move, and are you happy that he actually said this out loud? Because we've speculated for a while.
I think he lied. So
you do?
They came up with this answer after the fact, and it happens all the time. I think that they would have loved to have had that Marvel playbook. Let's talk about Marvel's all 20 properties. Are they amazing? No, we're getting Thor 1 and 2s that we all still had to go watch. So
that second one. Ugh.
If DC was able to go do this, and let's once again look at that economic bottom line. Even if you're making $1 billion off of one movie, you're not doing it across the board. And it looks like a hodgepodge of movies. If you could tie it all together, you're looking at a tie-in of all types of things. And that's always the smartest play. That's like saying we didn't want to go to the playoffs because we're just a real team. No, that's not how real teams work. You want to get to the playoffs. You want to go to championships. And DC would have loved to have done that. They didn't do it. And so they caught on to that and they're like, you know what? Well, let's take plan B and make that plan A. And we're going to push that narrative as far as we can.
He also says that he feels like they're turning a corner after Aquaman. And that, like I said, they're playing by the DC book, which is different than the Marvel book. Elena, do you think that it's silly that they keep referencing Marvel? Do you think that if they really were not playing by any of Marvel's rules, that they just wouldn't be part of the conversation?
I mean, I feel like considering people are always going to put the two together and they're going to juxtapose one against the other, and they're going to say Marvel has it together and DC doesn't, because that seems to be...
You say people, you mean fans, or you mean...
I feel like the general public, a lot of comic book fans, I mean, we obviously have a very, very strong tie to DC movies, and we feel like they're brilliant and they're great and they're going to keep making good ones, and that, you know, they are now starting to have a more definitive plan, which I think is good. But I think anytime that you have a press conference, if you just don't talk about Marvel at all and you're repping DC and everyone's saying...
That's true. Let's see how many times Feige has brought up DC.
Yeah,
anytime he's brought it up.
He doesn't bring up the DC playbook. Number one doesn't look at number two.
Exactly.
We know that.
But that's all I'm saying is that he's not bringing it up.
But it's like DC, if they but when you're getting these questions start, all the time. Right, and it's like because they didn't start with the Marvel playbook 10 years ago that Marvel did. If you try to rush it all now, we see it doesn't work. That's what happened, I think, with Justice League, where it's like you're trying to push 10 years of history into one movie.
Marvel got lucky with technology, right? So technology made Marvel possible. DC didn't have that. They had a different playbook because they created different movies. Let's not look like we were going through Marvel movies in the 90s.
Marvel got possible because of technology.
No. Technology made it happen. So they had a vision, and then that vision was able to come alive because we had a matchup. It's the perfect time. It's the perfect timing and collision of the two. I'm going to need to never speak to you again. I just can't.
She's too nice and too punny for you?
Just can't.
Too nice and too punny. That's about our movie news, but I want to make sure we get into my favorite time.
Yeah!
It's time for Roxy Strives TV. You didn't even know.
I did.
He is fine. I miss his sausages. I have some in my freezer.
I want some of those.
You want what? The sausages?
Sausages.
Yeah, they're good. I have like
sausage party.
15 sausages and 6 hot dogs still left.
Sausage party, yeah.
I like that movie.
Good.
You like that one? That was one of our best?
No.
One of the worst? Just somewhere in the middle?
We're there.
You're invited to the sausage party.
Oh. Am I invited? I feel like I'm not invited to
the sausage party.
I'm hosting the sausage party.
You are the ones who have sausages.
Who do I talk to about human resources?
Yeah.
Do we have human
I think
resources?
That's me. So yeah. We got to move on past this. We got an image of Lex Luthor. I have never seen a forehead like this.
You've never seen Ducky?
No, I've seen him.
Oh.
Of course. I'm a John Cryer fan. He wears a lot of hats, and who knew that his forehead was half of his face?
Everyone.
He looks very... Really?
Yeah.
Everybody knew that about him?
Yes.
He's Tyra Banks, man.
I've never knew this about John Cryer.
It's literally half his face.
He used to have bangs for a reason, guys. Come on.
Yeah. He looks just like I want Lex Luthor to look, though.
Does he?
He's badass, and
here?
I love
you don't
John
think so?
Cryer.
Yeah, me too. Say it. Say what you mean to say.
I'm on this after show panel, so we will find out on that after show.
Okay. When is that?
Supergirl.
When can people watch?
Sundays. Plug the Sundays. Please watch us 10 o'clock right here on AfterBuzz.
You can only plug the Sundays during the sausage party.
Okay.
And now we've made it full circle. Now we know.
Okay.
We're also back in the swing
from
of things.
John Cryer to John Laffer.
Do you see what you do?
Right?
Do you see what you're doing?
It's just
do you see
bad.
What we're doing?
It
here?
Got bad. It
you,
got bad.
You're an enabler.
It stayed bad.
I'm not an enabler. I'm an innocent bystander. I'm a bystander who got screwed at the sausage
There has
party.
To be a number you can call.
There has to be.
Puns Anonymous.
You just mentioned that Supergirl has its after show. We're back, and we also have our Flash one, our Arrow one, our Black Lightning one, our Young Justice one, our Gotham one. We've got all these
Titans.
DC shows. Yeah, but Titans is over.
It's over.
But all these other shows are back. Titans, that last episode was so ridiculous.
I
started loving that show. Of all the shows that are back on, I will say that this was a good week back. We had a decent week back. I think that I think we're setting up for the future here. There's some things that really, really annoyed me, especially on Supergirl this week. I felt like that was so unrealistic of Kara's character for Kara to be like, no, you can't forget me, Alex. No, don't do that. She's always the one who's pushing for that stuff. So that was really weird. I'm sure you guys talked about it on your show, though.
Oh, we talked about that wise red daughter there for half a second every time. It's like, what's going on? There was a lot going on. Supergirl, but we're just glad to have it back.
Wait, I listened to your after show this week. That's Monday. Now we're on Friday, right? You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
You have a dope panel.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot. And like I said, I listened to the Gotham one, too. Make sure you check out those after shows because we don't have time to fully cover all of them. I think Supergirl is probably my favorite of the week. Maybe Gotham, though. We're getting weird stuff
Gotham on
Gotham.
Gotham is pushing a lot of, like, it's out of the box at this point.
I know we lost Elena at some point, but I'm kind of hoping we get her back for the final season.
Yeah, Gotham, I will watch episodes, but not I skipped like a whole season. I know that's bad.
But
I
did we've the got same. Penguin. He's eating all the meat. Doesn't that intrigue you?
I will watch Gotham from time to time. Arrow, I pretty much gave up on. But
Arrow, you gave up on? Arrow is actually one of my favorite properties.
I gave up way too early on that one. Just because Black Canary, I think, is one of my all-time favorite characters. And I feel watching. Like they've done it wrong.
Which one? Laurel or Dinah? Who did they do wrong? Or Sarah, I guess.
All of it.
Who did it wrong?
All of it is just... It's not what I wanted. And they lost me with the flashbacks. I was finally like, we're off the island. They're like, Russia. And I'm like,
I loved it. I love that
storyline. Their flash forwards right now are stupid, though, Tehran.
They are now, but I think there's a huge, huge payoff
coming.
We're
pushing to something.
And I also think that the way I criticize DC movies, I compliment DC TV.
Their TV is phenomenal.
And animated is amazing.
Are you watching Young Justice?
Of course, I do the after show.
I can't get into it, and I feel stupid.
Did you watch seasons 1 and 2?
But forever ago.
Okay, so if you watch seasons 1 and 2 and you were just dying for season 3,
this is exactly what you want.
It's good.
Did you see this? They bring the cyborg episode back this week, right? Is that what's dropping today? Okay. Yep. You excited?
And we'll
for that?
Talk about that Sunday.
Great. So you guys know where to go for all of your DC TV news. Check out our AfterBuzz TV after shows. In the meantime, Tehran, where can they find you?
Find me all across the board at I am Tehran. Literally, I am Tehran. Tehran is like the capital of Iran. So if you don't know how to spell it, just watch Fox News.
And if they're in. If they're in LA, aren't you every Monday, Thursday, Laugh Factory?
Every Monday, Thursday, 10 p.m. on the Laugh at the Laugh Factory and After Buzz. If you watch a comic book after show, I'm probably on it or hosting.
True. Elena, what is your deal? I know February you're going to. Amazing...
Yeah, I'll be in Hawaii.
Yes. Can they still get tickets or are we sold out?
You can get tickets. Okay, yes. Good. And we have a bunch of awesome people coming. Tara Strong is the one that I'm most excited about.
You've been dying.
I love
that.
Her.
Yes.
Full-fledged Harley forever.
I love that.
But yeah, you guys can get tickets amazingcomiccon.com. You can find me on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan and on Twitter at Elena Jordan.
I'm everywhere at Roxy Stryer. Don't forget to follow Johnny at Jay Quasto, Mike at Mike Kalinowski, Adam at Adam Gertler. I have no idea where they are, otherwise I'd tell you guys on
fighting
some
crime,
covert mission. We're at DC Movies SK on the Twitters. We'll see you next week. Love you guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.